The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Praise to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread of life from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Maybe. I am in total solidarity with those people who go on their boats and get to Capernaum in order to get another meal. It happened just the other week. I was in, when we were in Pennsylvania, we got to go to this Amish market. I don't know if you've ever been into an Amish market, but it's a little like walking into heaven. Oh, and the Amish are simple people. They're, you know, right? Plain people, but they're not stupid. The first thing that happens, the first thing that you meet when you walk into the market is the bakery. Oh, and it is just, oh my goodness, the smell of this bakery. Bread in of all kinds. I mean, blueberry bread, peach bread, cinnamon bread, poppy seed cinnamon bread, whole wheat bread. All down the line. And not only that, which is really important for my family, is all of these things gluten-free. So there were options for people who couldn't eat bread. Oh, it was great. So, the good news was how wonderful it was. The bad news was how we were so over-enthusiastic about this bread. We were only going to be there for a week, and we bought enough bread for a month. Our desire got the best of us, right? So we bought all this bread. We were so excited about it. We ate a bunch of it. But on the last day, we were at a bed and Airbnb, right? They didn't want anything left over at the house. We couldn't take it on the plane. So sadly, on the last day, in the early morning, we had to throw a bunch of this stuff away, right? The food which perishes. The bread which perishes. So I get that. The desire for it and the reality of it is that it just doesn't last. So Jesus is saying to the people that there, "You all have come around here because I fed you before. You want more bread. But don't yearn for the bread that perishes." Your yearning isn't the problem. Your desire is not the problem. And that's true for us. We have all kinds of desires for bread, for happiness, for life, for connection, for community, for relationship. And these are hungers, these are desires that God has put in us. Alexander Schmemann, the Eastern Orthodox theologian, says, "God created us hungry. That's why he put us in a garden. And everything was there for us to eat and to drink." So the desire isn't the problem. The problem is, what are you desiring? Where are you channeling that hunger? So the problem for us wasn't that we were desiring bread. The problem was that we were just over enthusiastic about this bread, which was not going to last. So what Jesus says instead is this: desire the food which does not perish. Right? Desire the food which lasts to eternal life. The word that really that's being used there, though, isn't just lasts or endures for eternal life. I think that's the word in our translation, endures. It's not that. It's that which abides for eternal life. It's that life which lingers among us for eternal life. Right? So isn't that a beautiful thing? It's like, it's this kind of abiding. When Jesus says, I abide in the Father and the Father abides in me. Or in John chapter 15, when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, abide in the vine. Hang out with me. Pitch a tent with me. Linger with me. That's what this is about. So he's saying, desire the food that lingers. And so the great question might be like, how does that happen? What kind of food are we talking about? Of course, we're talking about Jesus himself, his own very presence. And as we're going to talk about in the body and blood that we receive at the Eucharist. But there's other ways in which also, in fact, a shmamen again, every single food that we eat can become a sacrament for us. Can be the place where God abides. The idea is this: everything that we eat, right, is dying or is dead. All of our food, right? As soon as you pick it off the tree, it begins to die. What do? We put it in the refrigerator to stop it from decaying. It's dead. Now, we can take that and we can eat that and we can desire that kind of food and we need it to sustain our lives. But if we are just simply eating it to stay alive, it's good, it's holy, it's a gift from God. But it's really sort of like communing with the dying, this dying world. It isn't like the life that Jesus is talking about. However, if we take that bread, take that food, take that stuff which is dying, and every time we do it, realize that it is a sacrament of God, and give thanks for it, then it becomes a sacrament. Then it becomes the vehicle by which we receive God. And by which we see God. See not just the gift, but the giver of the gift. So that, in a sense, every single meal that we have, over which we give thanks, Eucharist, that's the Greek word for thanksgiving, by the way, if we give thanks at every meal, we are not just communing with a dying world, we are actually experiencing a resurrection from death. To life. That food which is dying, it becomes living food, living bread for us. Because it becomes what it was created to be in the first place. That which brings us God. Everything in this world is a sacrament. Everything. The breath that we take in and out, if we give thanks for it, becomes for us this way in which we can commune with God profoundly. Imagine a life that is filled with thanksgiving, gratitude, joy. That is the kind of life that Jesus is inviting us to. And it doesn't happen simply by seeing the gift, but by then seeing through the gift to the one who gave it. In a way, it's really, really simple. The first step of this is every time you take a meal, say a prayer of thanksgiving. It's really easy. It's not a profoundly complicated theological thing. Give thanks to God. And I can tell you a little story about that. So, the other day, I'm in here, and there's a guy who comes into the church, and he's just beat. You can tell he's just on his last legs. He's been out in the heat for 4 days, hasn't had a place to stay. He's kind of been at people's houses, but then not. It's just been, you know how it is. It's very, very tiring to not have your own place. He lives somewhere else. He got stuck here. He's a little bit older. He's riding a borrowed bike around town in 100-degree weather. I mean, he's just beat. And he comes in. He's like, oh, finally, a church that's open. And he comes and he says, look, do you think I could get a drink of water? And I said, no. No, I didn't say no. I said, of course, come in. Come in, let me get you some water. Sit down here. You look tired. And I get him the water. He opens it up and he goes, oh, thanks be to God. And he drinks this water. And he says to me, you know, anyone who gives a drink of water to one of us poor ones is doing it for Jesus. Did you know that? He asked me. And I say, yeah, I do know that. And I recognize you, buddy. And he says, yeah, thanks. And he's drinking and he's like, this water, oh, this is so good. He says, you know, this water has taken yet another one of my problems away. He says, Psalm 34, God has taken away all my troubles. And then he starts preaching. He says, how many of my troubles? All my troubles, he says. And I'm like, all right, preach it, man. You need more water. You can preach some more. It was just amazing how grateful this guy was for a little bottle of water. But that was a sacramental moment to be here with him as he gave thanks in such a profound and effusive way. Oh, yeah, this is communion with God. This is a Eucharistic moment. To be in with this God who is giving thanks. It's really, in some ways, that easy. That's what Jesus is saying. You want life that lingers, that hangs around? Man, say a prayer with that guy, and you know that you'll be lingering. It's the bread of heaven that's lingering. It's the water that rises up to eternal life, and it's lingering. It stays with us. It reaches right down past our stomach, right into our souls. That's the bread that lingers. The water that holds on for eternal life. It's just a beautiful thing, and it's a simple thing. Chuck has an adopted brother, and his adopted brother was a missionary kid in Cameroon in Africa, and then he went back as a missionary developer or director. And so he lived there many, many years. And he was here and he was telling me this story. It's a great story. He said, yeah, in Chad, in the country of Chad, this group of missionaries built some wells. They dug some wells, right, so that the people could have fresh water. But these missionaries didn't stop there. They said, we build this well, and every time we gather the villagers around, we get them at the well, and we tell them the story of Jesus and his encounter with the woman at the well, and how she comes to the well every day, and Jesus says, if you asked me, I would have given you living water. And they go back and forth, and the woman finally says, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming back to this well to drink. The point being this water is not the ultimate thing. This water is good. It's beautiful. It's the creation of God. It's for your bodies. It's wonderful. But remember also that the giver of this water
is really the one who will quench your thirst.
I just thought that was ingenious. And I wanted to say to them, let me write a liturgy so that every time they go to the water, they can say this quick liturgy of thanksgiving, right? So that they can say, thanks be to the God who gave us this water. And then, indeed, it becomes a sacrament for them because they enter into this Eucharistic way of life. We are invited into this Eucharistic way of life. We have done very well on Sunday mornings celebrating the Eucharist, receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus over the years. What maybe I haven't seen as clearly as I do now is that this is beautiful, it's rich, it's really important. We become the body of Christ together as we partake of this bread and this wine. And it's a model for every other meal of your life. We receive the body and blood of Christ every time in thanksgiving, in Eucharist, we take bread, food, water into our bodies. And we are thereby moved to see and to receive the bread that lingers, the bread from heaven that lingers with us. And the waft, like that waft of that bread in that Amish market, lingers. And after a while you say, wow, heaven, I know that smell. I know that taste. I know this feeling in my heart. Yearn for the bread that lingers so that heaven may linger among us. Amen.